Hello, hello everyone. Live from Rio, here is another podcast episode from This Expat Life. My name is Amanda Maxime and I will be your coach and host for today. And as always, This Expat Life is about living your best expat life and using personal development as a tool to get there. And today I want to address something that I see a lot in my discovery calls with potential clients and also later on with my coaches. They come to me at a point where they feel that they need to make a decision or they should be making a decision soon and they cannot choose. So just last week I had two discovery calls with two powerful, incredible ladies, young women in their late 20s, early 30s. And they had a good career, they lived abroad, they had a relationship, and while everything seemed to be okay, they started wondering. They were wondering if they were making the right decision by staying there, if it wasn't time for a new move, and if so, where to, and what that would mean for their job, and what about their family, and what about their relationship, etc., etc., etc. And this is exactly the situation that I often hear in the discovery calls. And it makes sense. I mean, I was there myself once as well. In our late 20s, early 30s, or late 30s even, and also beyond. I mean, this doesn't stop. But we are faced with certain decisions about our lives. Our 20s are often just to enjoy life and do the things that we want. But at some point, we want to make a career. We want to start a family. We want to settle down. Or sometimes we don't really feel that we want all those things. Society makes us believe that we should go after these things. This is something I'm personally struggling with at the moment. So around 30, like between, let's say, 27 to 40, you are faced with all these decisions. And as an expat, these decisions are harder. Because when you take a decision about your career, if you want to change career, it is also going to affect your location. That's going to affect how close you are to your family, to your friends. It might affect your relationship or a potential relationship. And so one decision on your career has a much wider impact on other things, way more than for those who stay at home and never leave their country. For them, most of the time, it's just a decision around their career, and that's already difficult enough sometimes. But that's it. They don't need to take into consideration all these other ripple effects that come with that decision. And so when you are faced with a decision or you're in that phase of your life or people are asking you all the time about it and you start to get this sense of, yes, I need to take a decision on my life going forward, it can be quite tough to know what to decide. Now, personally, I never really struggled with this myself because I have always chosen what my heart desires over everything else. I started doing this already when I was, how old was I? 19. And I realized I wanted to quit my law degree and I wanted to travel in South America. And I think there were three or four people out of everyone I knew that really supported me in that. And everyone else, including my dad, was super against it. My dad didn't pay my monthly allowance for 5 months. He didn't speak to me for 5 months because he really opposed my decision. And even though I was like taking a second job, I was still doing my studies. I had a whole plan to make it happen and that I could also continue my studies when I would come back, which I did, by the way. But then there were also colleagues of mine who said I was going to be raped, robbed, murdered in that order in South America, even though they had never been outside of Europe themselves. And so I was dealing with a lot of opposition about my decision to go to Latin America for a year as a young blonde woman. Yet I felt the calling and I went. And I've done this often in my life. I'd say every couple of years I have a big decision like this. Also in London, I was working at a job there, which seemed to be a really fitting job for my degree. I studied Latin American politics there, and I was working as a political risk analyst covering Latin America. But I felt miserable there. I shared something about it in the previous episode and in another episode, I think, as well. And I decided within 2 days I wanted to quit my job, and I also wanted to move back to the Netherlands because I was tired of London. Even though I had nothing lined up, I had no job there, I knew I couldn't get an apartment without a job, so I knew, okay, this is going to be a situation I might need to deal with, but I will sort it out. I'm going to follow my heart and quit this horrible, horrible job. And thankfully that all worked out. And just last autumn, I did the same thing. I felt for a longer time already, I wanted to live in Brazil. And there were some things going on in my personal life that finally made me go like, you know what? I'm really over it. I'm just going to follow my heart again and move to Brazil. And it turned out to be the best decision. So for me personally, I never really struggled that much with taking a decision because I really let my heart speak. And I don't really care so much about the practical implications because I believe that everything is figureoutable and there's a way to deal with things if problems arise. Often in our head, we see so many obstacles on the road already that prevent us from taking any steps because the obstacles are there and they're so big or so many. But very often, actually, these obstacles don't even materialize once you take a decision. But I always think if something comes up, you know, I'm smart, I'm hardworking, I can rely on myself, I know how to take care of myself, even in bad situations, I will be fine. So it has never been truly a big issue for me, but I see it so much with my clients. So they call me at some point and they say, Amanda, you know, I'm living here in, let's say, London. My job is fine, like I like what I do, but my family back home keeps asking me when I'm going back home. My boyfriend isn't from here and he wants to move back to his home country. And I kind of got here because I went along with a previous relationship and I've been here for 6 years. So I'm also feeling that, oh, maybe it's time for something new. And I just don't know what to do. And she kind of got stuck in this thinking loop. So we discussed it over the call. It was really the situation, just with different locations and stuff. And as we were talking, I could sense that her energy was going upward towards her head and like thoughts were spinning around in her head. Because it often goes like this. Ah, yes, maybe it's time for me to move. But then where should I go? If I go back to my home country, you know, I'll be with my family. That will make me happy. But I know I'm not going to find a job that I want. And I know I'm not going to be happy around that short-minded people. I've heard this a lot from expats, by the way, who have been saying that about their home country. But if I follow my boyfriend, you know, I'm not even sure if I want to live there. I've never been there. I don't know if this relationship is going to work out. I don't know if I can work there. If I stay here, I feel like I'm missing out on my potential. Maybe it's time for me to explore something else. I'm not sure about my career here. And maybe actually it's just time for me to live a normal life and go back home. And then they're back in square one. And they just go round, around, around in loops. And it's really hard to make a decision if you're stuck in that thinking loop. Now, I know that thinking loop, not with these big decisions because I follow my heart, but it's maybe with smaller decisions where everything just seems so equal in your head and you can't give preference to something. You don't know what to choose. Everything comes with pros and cons, and they're all in different areas and all kind of different. So you can't really say this one weighs more than the other one, because they also have an impact on each other. And so it's all tangled up. And maybe you recognize this. Maybe you're also currently in a phase that you know you need to be taking a decision soon because your job is ending, or because you feel you want to settle down somewhere, or you just feel pressure to do something and you don't really know what to choose. Well, I'm here to offer you a little bit of help and to give you two ways of what you could do or incorporate a bit more in your life, in your daily life, in your being, so that you can take a decision that is really aligned with what you truly want in life. And both of these tips or ways, whatever, are about getting out of your head. Because that's the number one mistake that I see with these high achieving expats who are stuck in this decision loop. They try to solve it with their head because that's what they're good at. At their work, in their personal life, they always got things done relying on their intelligence, on their analysis, you know, this got them very far, their cognitive skills. But it's also a trap. And this quality becomes a trap the moment it's more about feelings, dreams, and intuition. when you can't rationalize certain things. It's really hard to rationalize feelings or dreams. It's almost like you want to quantify something that isn't quantifiable. Is that the word? I think you know what I mean. So certain vague feelings or wishes that you have or urges or things you want to explore, they are simply not rational. They are just within you. I believe they're little nudges of your soul that you need to follow. But it's really hard to rationalize them and to justify why you want to have them or why not. But that is what happens. It's like all these things go through a translator and then they end up in our head as rational thoughts. And these thoughts are all equal. And actually the one part that often shows up like this is fear. So maybe just to start with the dreams and desires that we have in life, we kind of know we don't always need to justify why we want that, or we find rational arguments to justify those wishes. But fear automatically shows up almost as a rational argument. Because let's say you dream of something big, out of the ordinary, something that's not super conventional. There is a part of you that is enthusiastic and that wants to go at it and do it. And then almost right away, or sometimes if you wait a few hours, a few days, all these rational arguments of why you shouldn't do it start to appear in your head. And that is simply fear, just disguised as a rational argument. So when I decided to go to Brazil, I didn't book my ticket right away. I took the decision within a couple of days, but I didn't book my ticket in those 4 days. It took me still 2 months or so. And in those 2 months, I had a lot of reasons why actually it wasn't a good idea. And I'm so glad I already told everyone that I was going. Otherwise, I might, I don't know, maybe I would come back on my decision, who knows. But I had all these arguments of like that my business would suffer, that I was not going to have a love life that I wanted because somehow I thought I could only find love in the Netherlands. I don't know why I thought that. I had practical issues about my house, you know, all these practical reasons, rational arguments why I shouldn't go to Brazil. And that is truly fear. And this happens. Fear unconsciously shows up to us as rational arguments, and they start to take play in that thinking loop that you are stuck in. So not only do you have some valid arguments of why you should and shouldn't do it, you also have these disguised arguments that is really just about fear. And you try to weigh them, but it's a fake assessment in a way, because you cannot really compare all of them together. Some of them are fear. And with those arguments, it's often a matter of overcoming your fear or supporting your fear and taking action on it anyway and expanding your comfort zone. But they shouldn't be a true rational argument of why you shouldn't do it. So in one of the calls, I was speaking to someone who had a really good job and a nice expat career, but she was dreaming of something else already for a long time. And as we were talking, she also said, but maybe I need to get some training first to get some certifications done. And knowing this from my own entrepreneurship journey and from speaking to a lot of people about this, I right away recognize this or flag this as fear. Because often what happens is that we want to do it well, we are afraid to fail. And then we think, if I just get the right certification, then I will, you know, be good enough and I can start doing those things. The problem is that if you have the first certification, then you're still going to think the same thing and you think, but I just need an additional training and maybe I need that other tool to practice with. And it's a never-ending story. You will never feel ready. And so saying things like, I just need to get some training in this field is often, again, fear disguised as a practical argument. Because for the thing that she wanted to do, objectively, she didn't need that training. It would be nice, but she wouldn't need it to start. You can also first start and then do the training as you go. So I flagged that right away as fear. And when you can recognize that as fear, you can take it out of the equation. Then you just know, that's fear, so I need to deal with that in another way. But it shouldn't be really part of my decision-making process. And another thing that I saw on this call, that she was really occupied with what her family thought of her decision. So her family has been asking her for a long time, like, when are you finally coming back home? As if that is like the final destination, and she's just on a journey with a big detour, but the coming home is the destination. And in that call, she also said, like, but I actually don't want to live there because I like the open-minded approach of the people where I am right now, and that's not the way in my hometown. Maybe I'll go there if I ever have a family, but for the coming like 5 years, that's not going to be the case. Yet it was part of her thinking loop because she put a lot of weight on what her family thought of her. She always tried to find approval with her family. And this was just another example, really. So again, this wasn't a rational argument that was in her head, but it was, well, maybe a tiny bit of fear, but also just a pattern that she developed in her life of finding that approval with her family before taking action on something. And again, this isn't a valid rational argument. This is just your own way of being. It shouldn't be part of that thinking loop. And so you shouldn't compare it with real valid arguments. It should be in the category of, this is how I usually deal with things, and this tendency of mine to seek approval is why I'm stimulated to attach more weight to my family's thoughts around this, even though it's my decision. So what I mean to say with these examples is that there is often a lot going on in your head, and they are all disguised as equal rational arguments, whereas in reality, they are coming from fear, they're coming from patterns that we developed in our lives that may not be serving us in this particular moment, or from other things, other emotions, other patterns, other triggers perhaps. But it's not a fair game to try to take a decision on all of them, viewing them as if they are rational, valid arguments, because they're not. If you want to take fear into the equation, that's fine, but you need to see it as fear. And also, once you are aware of a tendency of seeking approval, then you can also attach less weight to it, so it becomes not so big anymore in your head. So this is why it is so important to get out of your head and start connecting with your feelings more. So you don't want to overanalyze everything with your head. You know that, like I said at the beginning, that energy is all going towards the head. You want to land more into your body and be more in connection with your true self, not just through your cognitive skills. You want to create that strong foundation within yourself so that you can recognize when something is fear, when you're being triggered into an old pattern, or when you are seeking so much validation that all your energy is flowing outwards towards other people instead of having it within, which is going to help you to take a better decision. Because I am talking about better decisions in a way that they are aligned with your true self. Not better decisions that will help you fit in better or that will match society's expectations or your family's expectations of you. I want to help you to take more aligned decisions with your true authentic self. So one thing that you need to develop more is that steady foundation within yourself. So you can switch off that busy brain for a while and tune in, go inwards and assess, what am I really afraid of? What am I really seeking here? And what am I really needing to proceed in this decision-making process? Now, creating this steady foundation isn't a quick task. It takes time. This is some slow development. It takes some inner work, maybe meditation, tools like that. It's a practice over time because so many of us, the high-achieving expats, we're so used to analyzing our feelings, not being with our feelings. And so our head is so present and it takes time for us, like I said, to land more into your body, into your intuition, and to not have your head do all the thinking. It takes time to find that stillness within so you can hear that authentic voice a little bit better and to block out outer noise. And how to get there? First and foremost, I think, and this is an advice I got myself very often as well, is to slow down. If you are constantly living in your head, you're also not very present. The head is often in the future or in the past. The body is always in the here and now. If you are like me and many other high-achieving expats, probably you are on a fast speed. You think fast, maybe you talk fast, you walk fast like me. But either way, that busy brain is always on and you can't really feel what is going on in your body, or you can't really hear that authentic voice. And the only way to get there is to slow down and create space for it. Now, practically how that looks, that could be, like I said, meditation or just being quiet, finding some practice that helps you find inner stillness, stuff like that. But also to not automatically say yes to new opportunities. Or when your family asks you when you're finally coming back or telling you something, to not respond to it right away, but to just take a deep breath and say something like, I'll come back to that later. Create space for yourself, within yourself, but also in your relationships with other people or in the relationship with your work. You want to create space around you so that there is not an automatic response to things happening outside of you all the time. You want to create extra space so you can land more into that intuition and hear your authentic voice. And one way to do that is by slowing down. What has personally helped me is meditation, visualization, not doing anything, not forcing myself to work, realizing when I'm on high speed with my thinking, with my doing, and then consciously slowing myself down, even in my way of walking. Just embody it, really. This is so important. There are a number of things that can help you ground yourself, but try to find some stillness so your mind isn't that busy, racing thing going on, being stuck in that thinking loop all the time, so you can have that energy sink down a little bit more into your body. You need to give your head a break. Okay, and so the other thing that I think is really crucial in your decision-making process is taking action. And this is one thing that a lot of people don't do because they feel they first need to make a decision before they can take action. And this obviously is a logical thought, and sometimes it really does work that way. But very often we actually find clarity through action and not through overthinking things more. So often we keep thinking, oh, but will I like this? Will it work out? Will I be happy there? Etc., etc. But we won't actually know until we try it, until we go to that place, until we try that job, until whatever, you know, we need to do. Thinking more about something is not going to bring you the clarity. Action will bring you clarity. And yes, this might be difficult because you're like, oh, but that means that I'm going to choose something even though I'm not sure of it. Yeah, it might feel that way. But think about it in this way. No decision is actually also a decision. So while you are postponing making a decision because you don't know what to choose, you are in fact choosing something. You are choosing the status quo. By not taking action, by not going for something, by not choosing something, you are choosing the status quo. You are choosing the situation where you are currently stuck in. So if you are afraid of taking action because you first want to have clear what your decision is, please remember that you are already deciding the status quo with that. So if you view it from that perspective, taking some action isn't so scary. It is just one step in one direction, and this step will help you see if it's a right choice for you or not. If it turns out it's not the right choice, you go back and you take another step. But by not taking any steps, you're keeping yourself stuck in the current situation, and that is also a choice. We just don't perceive it that way because we see it as how things are already, but we have the power to change our situation every single day again. Sometimes we cannot change the external circumstances, but we can always change our way of thinking. We can always change some of our actions. And by postponing taking any action, we are in fact choosing the current situation. So hopefully this will help you go forward to take one step into any direction. And this step is necessary, like I said, because action brings clarity. Now, this can show up as a choice for a location. So maybe you want to experiment living there for a little bit or going there on a quick trip or something like that, or doing a lot of research. But it's also in small ways. For example, my niche when I started was pretty broad. I was coaching expats, digital nomads, and globetrotters. And only through action and through doing it, I realized that actually I like coaching expats, because I like people who want to achieve things, who are ambitious and who have like a really broad international mind and who have a really good career. And I didn't always see that reflected in the globetrotters and digital nomads, even though I'm now myself one, but I'm talking about this in general. And only when I started coaching expats, I realized actually I want to coach the high achieving expats, and I don't want to coach the trailing spouses, because these are just not my kind of people. And I could have thought about that for months and months and months without taking any action, and I wouldn't have found the clarity that I found through action. So if you are thinking about changing your career for a long-time dream of yours, which involves something creative, I'm coaching a lot of people who have that right now. Start with a side hustle already. You don't have to give up everything and get a training done so you can finally make that decision and move that direction. You can already start doing something right now next to your current job. And that action will bring you the clarity. It will help you to assess if you actually like it or not, if you want to give up your career for this or not. And maybe you need to be a little bit creative about it, because sometimes we cannot really test anything out through action, right? Maybe we can't live somewhere for a little while, or we can't visit the place. But then pretend maybe that you've taken that decision and that you're moving. But often actually our resistance in this decision-making process is already in something simple as looking up what needs to be done to get the visa or the expense of living there. I certainly have this myself. Every time I feel a tiny bit of fear, I tend to avoid it. Then I prefer not to look at it, like, I don't know, like doing my taxes or something else. Even when coming to Rio, for a long time, I didn't check out any Airbnb properties because I still had a lot of fear somehow around my decision, which I talk about in the previous episode. And so sometimes it is not even about the big moves or, you know, taking really big action or something more tangible. It's just about like doing that Google research that you've been avoiding. So do the little task where some resistance has been. And this will already give you some input about whether you like it or not, whether this is the right decision for you or not. If you are also aware of how you're feeling, what I talked about just before, and you're not just stuck in your head all the time, then whatever comes up for you during a Google research, or maybe you're having a coffee with someone who just lived there or did that career, if you tune more inwards, you will recognize certain feelings that will tell you, hey, this is my calling, or actually, no, this is not what I want. So these are two ways that can help you to get out of your head and that can hopefully help you in this decision-making process. I've got two extra small bonus things that you can add to it if you're really stuck. The first one that I always like to ask myself and my coaches, if I don't know whether I really want it or if I'm being held back by fear or by something else, I ask the question, if this would work out perfectly, would I be happy with it? If the answer is yes, a hell yes, then I know it's fear holding me back disguised as rational arguments. If it's a not really, then I know the end result isn't for me. It's not about fear holding me back. I just don't get excited by the end result. So ask yourself this question. Maybe this question alone will already bring some clarity for you. And then the second thing that I often like to do, well, as I said, I'm pretty quick with decision-making processes and I follow my heart. But the one part where it's been really difficult for me is in relationships. And then I get stuck in my head. So what I've been doing, and I told some of my friends and my clients this as well, is that I see this as a process and it has an end to it. And if the end isn't forced by an external event or by someone, or, you know, there's an external deadline, I give myself a deadline. So I tell myself, okay, I'm allowed to ponder this and think about it as much as I want and to feel everything. But if the situation is still like this in 3 months, then I'm going to take a decision. And this has been working really well for me in my relationships and for others when an external deadline wasn't present. And when you are not being forced to make a decision, but you kind of feel you want it. Now, being stuck in this indecision loop is so energy consuming. It can take up all your mental space, especially when you go to bed and there's nothing to do anymore. That's when the thoughts come up, right? At least for me. And so knowing that there is a deadline to it always helps me to let it go in that moment. And then I can say to myself, I don't need to think about it now because I will take a decision on this in 3 months. So if I kind of feel that I need to do something with it, but there's no external deadline, I give myself this deadline to be able to let it go and not get stuck in that thinking loop every single night. And it can also help you to actually take a decision. So not just in letting it go in the moment before, but also in actually telling yourself, you know, in 3 months, I'm going to take a decision whether I feel ready for it or not, whether I have all the information I need or not. I'm just going to take a decision because I deserve it. My life deserves a decision and I'm not happy with the status quo. So I want to change something about it. All right. I hope this episode was helpful to you if you are stuck in an indecision loop. I would love to hear which part resonated with you most or what tip you found most useful. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can let me know in the, there's a sort of Q&A box that I check every now and then. It's always nice to see what people are thinking about the episode or what questions they have. But you're also very welcome to send me a DM on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'm there all the time, really. And if you like this episode and this expat life in general, it would also mean a lot to me if you could leave a review. The more 5-star reviews we have, the better, because that means that we can grow our community of conscious expats who are looking for more personal growth so they can live a life they feel truly happy in. I would love to make this community a lot bigger because I think everyone deserves a global life that they love. I wish you a wonderful day wherever you are and talk to you soon again. Bye.